what kind of business are we? What do we do? But then I think very quickly, let's get into the conversation of like, how are we intending to win in very clear bullet point forms? Like, in 3 years when we are there, if we were at a conference and our competitors were there at the same conference, they would look across the table and they were jealous of us. What are they jealous for?
Right.
Like, do we have closer customer connections than anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we have like the most smoothest operations? Like, right. You know, what is our thing that
right.
people, that our customers love about us, that our competitors hate us for?
This is the Organizational Health Advantage Podcast with Keith Hadley and James Felton, Principal Consultants at Table Group. They're in the business of coaching leaders to build strategic focus and cultural alignment that leads to amazing results. Welcome to the Org Health Advantage.
Hi, and welcome back to the Organizational Health Advantage. We're super excited to do a follow-up episode with Joy Schaefer and James Felton, my co-host and good friend, and Joy Schaefer, principal consultant based in St. Louis, also a great friend and an excellent consultant. James, tee our topic up today.
It's about strategy, and yeah. The reason for it is this. When we talk to prospective clients, one of the questions we often ask is, tell us about your strategy.
Yeah.
What is your strategy? And often there's a pause there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And so we probably need to help leaders define it right. and develop it.
Right.
What would you add there, Joyce?
I think it's often overcomplicated when we get the document.
Yeah.
Right? There's so much, and there may be three different slides that almost seem like they contradict each other, or just add more that it gets more and more confusing as it goes along.
Totally.
I want to do a quick story. I think you're kind in saying it's maybe three slides that might contradict each other. There have been multiple times where, and these are big companies.
Yes. Huge.
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, if not over a billion.
Billions.
And they say, and it's like, hey, it is clear you've thought about this. It's clear you've put a lot of work into this. It's just not clear what your strategy is.
Right, right. Yeah.
And if we asked everybody on your team, I'm not sure they'd articulate the same things.
You know what I think it actually is? I think it's the kitchen sink of everything we have to do.
Yes.
And I also think it becomes, it's from a siloed perspective of everybody, you know, adding on to what they need to do, and nobody's making strategic trade-offs to get focused.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
And I do think the longer they've been at it, the more complicated it's gotten. I almost would prefer a CEO who said, I have no idea. Like, oh, great. Let's start with the blank sheet of paper and let's craft your strategy right now, rather than trying to unmake the 38 PowerPoint slides that came from three different consulting firms and 10 years worth of, you know, pivot table analysis. It's like, that's almost impossible to disentangle.
Yes.
So if we could blank sheet it, if we could have a blank sheet of paper, how would we craft strategy? That's what I want to talk about.
And Keith, you've done a lot of work on this prior to joining Table Group. So now you this is like such a sweet spot for you.
Yeah. My first job was in a consulting firm doing strategic planning. And I was given the specific mandate to help our senior partner, who is a couple of years from retirement, help him simplify our process. And this is before I knew Pat, but I was wrestling with the same question. In fact, I remember writing an article that just said, like, mission, vision, values, who cares? Like, there's some simple questions that we need to answer first.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I didn't follow it up with a book or any of the brilliant thoughts that Pat had, but at least I was thinking about the same problem.
Yeah. So because you know how Pat does it.
Yeah.
And if we have a client who, like, okay, there was a big pause in answering that question, where would you start?
Yeah. I want to start by untable grouping this. Mm-hmm. I would say, James, like, we need to figure out where we're going.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I see where we are today. And maybe we need to ask a couple of questions like, well, where are we today? Like, revenues, who are our customers? Like, let's just level set on the state of affairs. But I would just ask the couple, like, where are you trying to get to? Don't overthink it. Not 10 years, not 5 years, even just in 3 years. Do we even have the same picture of our future? And can we articulate that? And could we get it down to like a sentence, or maybe a sentence with five bullet points that would be like reflecting of different parts?
That's what I would prefer, Keith. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if it's one sentence, sometimes we get it, it becomes so benign we don't even know what it means. But those bullet, it doesn't have to be fancy, just the bullet points of where are we heading revenue wise? What kind of market do we play in? What are our what are our differentiators? What's our culture like? Yeah. All of those things are key points.
And it's I'm amazed at how often I've asked that simple question. And it's like, let's say the company, for sake of simplicity, they're $50 million in revenue. And then you say, hey, in 3 years, where are we going to be? And you have like one person says $250 million, somebody else says $57 million.
Yes. Yes.
And you're like, okay, so like, I don't even like, let's not even talk go to market strategy yet. Let's just talk about like, are we trying to 10x the business? Isn't that going to be through acquisition? Are we trying to do like year over year 10% growth? Like, okay, so that's where we start. Like, let's see if we can't put on a simple, on a 3x5 card, our vision of the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we get everybody aligned on that, which actually is some work. Then what?
I think that the next place you would go would be just to affirm like what it is that we actually do. And if our strategy involves having to change that, like, do we need to add a second part of the business? Do we need to acquire a different business? Are we like James, you know, worked with a client, they were a services company and then they became a tech company by making an acquisition. Like that's a pretty big deal. So that like, let's at least decide what kind of business are we, what do we do? But then I think very quickly, let's get into the conversation of like, how are we intending to win in very clear bullet point forms? Like in 3 years when we are there, if we were at a conference and our competitors were there at the same conference, they would look across the table and they were jealous of us. What are they jealous for?
Right.
Like, do we have closer customer connections than anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we have like the most smoothest operations, like you know what is our thing that people that our customers love about us that our competitors hate us for?
Protect what do you think? Ourselves from making decisions outside of that.
The other question I like there is if you were getting Yelp reviews, what buckets would you want those in?
Yeah.
And Keith, we worked with a company that grew a ton.
Yep.
And as they were growing, we talked about like customer intimacy. Do you remember this? And and they were like, yeah, basically if they want to return the product, we don't want them to even bother with it. We don't want them to call us. Like if they just want a new product, we'll send it out. But they don't need to return it.
Yeah. They didn't even like, have a cut. I think they had an email. They didn't even have a number. They like, we don't want people calling us.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, you don't want Yelp reviews about customer service.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we don't. Mm-mm. Okay.
And if we did, we wouldn't care. That's not who we're trying to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but like, in that example, if the Yelp review is like, this product didn't work, they would be like, okay, we got to fix that.
We got to deal with that.
Yeah. So if I could just paint a picture of what you've said so far. So it's like, if you think about what's our North Star, where are we heading? What direction are we going? What do we do right now? I'm using my hands to describe this. And there's a natural tension between the decisions we make today to serve tomorrow.
Yep.
And then I think of it as, so if this is the future, this is today. Those anchors that you just talked about, you know, what makes us unique, what differentiates us, to me, that is like the foundation of all the steps we take along the way to get to that North Star. And so we're going to be making a lot of decisions between now and 3 years from now. How do we always honor and stay true to that place, that special place we play in the market.
Joyce, I think I was with Sophie Dummer in on our UK team, and
Doomer.
Okay. big fan of Sophie. She just kept asking this question. Okay, if we're going to be successful, what must be true? And so I don't think that's another strategic question, but I think that's the kind of question you ask yourself as you're doing that thing you just did with your hands. Like, okay, so if we're going to be known for having the very best product in the industry that does this thing that other products don't do, our competitors don't do, then okay, well then what must be true? What must be true if we're going to be successful in
that?
And then we might make a big decision about like, we need to do a significant investment in R&D.
Yes.
Yes.
And then those become strategic decisions. And I guess if I'm going to honor my first job out of college, I guess if we wrote all those down and if we could predict those, like that might start to look like a traditional plan. But I think what you're really looking for on a 3x5 card would just be those like differentiating anchor points.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying so hard to not use any traditional vocabulary here, but I think, that would be it. So where are we going? What is it that we do? What is the thing that makes us unique that our customers love about us?
Yes.
What kinds of decisions do we make along the way? Joyce?
Well, I heard a leader say, you know, we stress out so much about every step along the way of the plan. What we really need is a strong beginning and a strong ending, and we keep adjusting along the way. Let's not get so stressed out in locking every decision in, because it's evergreen. We could have never predicted COVID, right? Yeah,
right.
All of that.
And or tariffs.
Yeah.
Or tariffs. I mean,
yes.
Right. If we want the biggest return on management attention, then we should put most of our attention on where let's agree on where we're going, and let's agree on what's the decision we need to make right now. What do we need to be better at right now?
Yes.
And like, let's spend some thought to like what that path would look like, just so we're not stupid, but like, let's not over-index there.
But that's the agility you have to have.
Yeah.
Right. Remember, we had a leader, in fact, it was the same leader as we referenced before, but who talked about the inverse bell curve, where it was like, okay, we need a lot of attention over the next 6 to 9 months, limited attention over the next like 24 months. And then let's remember where we want to be in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
That focus.
Yeah.
So that inverse bell curve was really important to
them. That's interesting. I like
that.
So if we were in this conversation and we were really clear so far, I think you'd have a lot of people like fired up and ready to go. And they'd say like, all right, ready, break. We'd say, don't leave the room yet.
Right.
Like, what is everybody going to focus on next? Like, everybody write down what they think is going to be, you know, the most important thing for us to focus on next.
What's our first step, you mean?
What's our first step? Where do we need to make the biggest impact in the short term?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that we're all like on the same page, because we're about to break and make a bunch of independent decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
With a bunch of energy and focus towards that. And so, you know, we brought up COVID. We saw a lot of people and a lot of teams crush that during COVID.
Right.
Yes.
Why? Because there was urgency.
Yep.
And there was focus.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have to disagree with each other.
In fact, usually it was so obvious sometimes.
Yeah.
And it was so aligned. The goal was so aligned. When we don't have something like that going on, then it's a little bit tougher because there's a lot of things we could do.
Yes. Yes.
And then the debate becomes, well, of all the things that we could do and probably a few things that we absolutely should do, like which of those things are we actually going to focus on to make sure that gets done?
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. I think the team, we often say that we hire really, most of our clients hire very smart, very hardworking people. They will have no problem coming up with a top priority. That's in their DNA. They're just not going to come up with the same one as their colleagues unless they intentionally set aside time for that.
Right.
Yeah. It's that no light of day between us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I think if we were going to have something that we could credibly call a plan, we probably would need to put pen to paper and just get clear about like, okay, like, so who must do what by when?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think depending on the company size or the team size or the project size, that that would either be in very broad brushstrokes or it might be a little bit more detailed. But like, I would say, let the level of detail be dictated by the need. Like, how prescriptive do we need to be there? Is it like milestones or is it like Gantt chart?
No, I would say it's more milestones, action steps, those mm-hmm. types of things. And what we encourage our leaders to do is focus on the biggest ROI.
Yep.
Not the perfection of the list.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Well said.
Yeah. Totally. Like, yeah. Yeah. Just like we gotta shut down the other. We got to shut down the other team's run. It's like, that's all we have to do? It's like, no, we have to do everything else too. But they've got that one first round draft pick, you know, running back. We need to shut him down. If we don't, nothing else matters. Like, it's that, it's like, no, 80-20 rule here.
Right, right. Like, we could have this long list of everything that could be done, but we also have day jobs. So it's like, what's the list that's going to get us the most bang for our buck?
Right.
Let's focus on that.
Yep.
And accountability towards it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which often, you know, we can do all of these things, but if we don't have that peer-to-peer accountability towards it, then the best plans don't matter.
You know, it's so funny about what you just said, right? So it's like, we do need a great plan, but we've said no light of day between us, accountability, yes. The team can't be in silos. So it's, you can't have this strategy without having this concept of, we're doing this together. Yeah. This isn't just my division. This is the overall company and where we heading together. And that's going to help make those trade-offs and those decisions. Otherwise, people are gonna start going to go in different directions.
Yes.
I just had a bit of a brainstorm too, which is, I think if we're going to call it a plan, we do need to write it down, but I think it needs to be in a form. Hear me out, push back on this. I think that when you actually write it down, it needs to be in a form that you could very quickly cover it in, say, like a half an hour to do the accountability you're talking about. Let's gather the team together, and we can't have 100 slides on a deck. Like, we need to somehow put it into a form that we said, let's just gather it maybe once a week for half an hour and just check in that, whatever form that is. It's got to be consumable in like a half an hour or less.
But doesn't have to be a picture of a house.
No.
Often those plans look like a picture of a house.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. No, very simple to understand and address and hold people accountable to, but in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think the further you go from the top of an organization to the front lines, of course, the more detail that plan needs to be written and articulated. We were just talking to John Brady, one of our friends, and he said the higher you go in an organization, the less you really know. He said, like, for example, I know my head of IT, you know, I don't know as much as he does. I for sure don't know like the ins and outs of the coding process. So like, as you go down through the organization, this plan needs to find expression into like very specific detailed things, but that's action planning. That's not strategic planning.
And that's how you engage people deeper in the organization to feel like they're a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, the executive team can't make every decision on every action.
Right. You have to communicate broad brushstrokes that then guide them in their decisions.
Yeah. So, you know, Keith, when you have laid this out so far, what I think of, can't help but think of this way. Jim Collins in Built to Last said, there's preserving the core and stimulating progress. It's almost like a yin and yang picture. And so far, it feels like you've been talking about stimulating progress. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the vision? What's the plan? What's the strategy? What lane do we play in? And then there's still that preserving the core, which is core purpose, or sorry, I'm not supposed to say terms, but like
you can.
Now you can. We're at minute 19. You can do it.
But just, you know, core purpose and core values. That's the preserving the core, because it's just that's maybe how we do it and why this is important to us. Yeah. And then how we're going to get it done.
Right. Right. Yeah.
The spirit of why we started this business in the first place.
Right. Well exactly. Well exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome.
And I do think, I just want to revisit this idea of like simplicity scales. And so if you had 8 executives around a table and each of them could pull out a 3x5 card and write down the same thing, that would be so much more powerful than if all of them could plunk a 3-ring binder on their desk in front of them that had like everything mapped out, which we know is probably not going to be, it's not going to work anyways. So I think there's just power in simplicity.
Yeah. Yes. And that's almost contrary to thinking about how most leaders think everything has to be sophisticated.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's a bias that we've got to work against, because the simplicity makes it so much easier for people to understand and see their place in it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So, Keith, I captured 5 steps from you. It started really with, well, Joyce would say it starts with a cohesive team, right? And then the 5 steps were like, let's outline where we're going, where we're trying to get to, you know, affirm what we do already, identify what makes us unique. And this was that idea of like, where would we want to bucket Yelp reviews and things like that? Focus on what's most important to get us there right now. Like, what's the first step we want to take?
Yep.
Identify who must do what. And then keep in mind that simplicity scales.
Yeah.
Like, the more complex this gets, the harder it is to scale it.
And put it into a form, if we add one more, that we can that we can talk about it every single week.
Yes. Yes, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, which means... We haven't said the word, but let's just make it clear. Meetings.
Those kinds of half an hour blocks of time. Yes.
Yes.
Meetings.
Yes.
Where people come together and talk about something.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right. That was great. Well, thank you both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Joyce, it was great having you again. Keith, you opened us. Why don't you close this?
All right. Thank you for watching and listening to the Organizational Health Advantage. We would encourage you to share this out and to like it or subscribe it and give us any feedback. We're always listening.
Thanks for listening to the Org Health Advantage. Your hosts, Keith and James, are helping leaders change the world of work and invite you to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. For more resources on building stronger teams and organizational health, check out tablegroup.com.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.